morning, Village. I'm Ray Chattery. I'm the deacon of the month for November. I'll be reading the scripture. The scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. You can follow along on the screen behind me or in your pew Bible. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sophonies, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
My Aunt Winnie was a saint. Now, she wasn't a saint in the official sense of the Roman Catholic Church. She wasn't canonized by the Pope or anything like that. In fact, she wasn't even Roman Catholic. She was a lifelong Baptist. But ask anybody who knew her, who really knew her, and they would tell you she was a saint. Before she moved to Fort Worth, Aunt Winnie was a public school teacher in a small town in North Texas. She taught high school Latin and high school English. During the summers when school was out, she led tours to Europe. This was back when people would go with a group to travel on vacation to Europe, and she was like a tour guide. Aunt Winnie and her husband, Uncle Earl, never had kids of their own, but they treated me and my sister and my brother like their grandchildren. And after Uncle Earl died and Aunt Winnie retired, she moved to Fort Worth, so we saw her often at family gatherings. In her younger days, Aunt Winnie had been quite the musician. She played the piano and the violin. She sang solos in church. Aunt Winnie was what you might call a clean liver. She never drank alcohol. She never smoked. She didn't gamble. She didn't use coarse language. She went to church every Sunday. She was about as prim and proper and respectable as you would expect a high school Latin and English teacher to be. Well, what made Aunt Winnie a saint, in my eyes, was not just her clean living and her church going and her impeccable conduct. What made Aunt Winnie a saint, for me, was her relationship with her younger brother, my Uncle Clay. Uncle Clay was everything that Aunt Winnie was not. He didn't go to church. He smoked. He used coarse language. He bounced around from job to job when he had a job. He was divorced. And most differently from Aunt Winnie, Uncle Clay drank a lot. He had a drinking problem. He would show up at family gatherings inebriated. And frankly, I did not like being around him. He made me uncomfortable. It was frightening for a child to be around somebody who was drunk. Well, Aunt Winnie hated Clay's drinking too. In her eyes, it brought shame on our family. But she didn't reject him. Just the opposite, Aunt Winnie spent years trying to help him. For a time after she moved to Fort Worth, Uncle Clay moved in to live with her. She did everything she could to help him find a job. She did everything she could to help him stop drinking. She even went to AA meetings with him. What a sight that must have been. This teetotaling, prim and proper, dignified and morally circumspect retired Latin teacher sitting in a meeting with a bunch of alcoholics and recovering alcoholics. But Aunt Winnie went to AA meetings to get Uncle Clay to go. When Uncle Clay died after years of abusing alcohol, Aunt Winnie was genuinely grieved. She grieved his passing, but also she grieved that he had wasted so much of his life. In spite of her disappointment with her little brother, Aunt Winnie never gave up on him. She was almost the patron saint of lost causes. The rest of us were about ready to write him off, but Aunt Winnie never did. Well, today, November 1st, is All Saints' Day in many churches. And in a roundabout the way, there'd be no Halloween without All Saints' Day. The reason that Halloween is celebrated on October 31st is because All Saints' Day is on November 1. All Saints' Day, sometimes called All Hallows, started to remember all the faithful saints who had died in the Lord. And so the night before All Hallows is called Hallows Evening, or shortened to Halloween. Well, in the early centuries after Jesus, Christians were martyred for their faith. Many Christians died because they believed in Jesus. Until the conversion of the Roman Emperor Constantine in 312, Christians were a persecuted minority. And yet, the Christian faith continued to spread. Now, the reason that Christians were persecuted and the reason that the faith continued to spread are basically the same reason. According to the church historian Bruce Shelley, the main cause of the hatred of early Christians in Roman society was their distinctive lifestyle. The early church father Tertullian wrote, "We have the reputation of living aloof from the crowds." It was that distinctive lifestyle that caused Christians to be persecuted, and it was that distinctive lifestyle that caused the faith to spread in spite of persecutions. Christians did live differently than their neighbors, and their neighbors noticed. And many were attracted to the faith because of that distinctive Christian lifestyle. Well, the church began to remember those who had been martyred for their faith on the anniversary of the martyr's death. And eventually those days were named after those persons who were killed, and they were regarded as saints. And in the 8th century, Pope Gregory established November 1st as the day for remembering all the saints. In the British Isles, November 1st coincided with the Celtic Festival of the Dead, Samhain. And over time, the Celtic Festival of the Dead and the Roman Catholic All Hallows Eve evolved into Halloween. Also over time, the Catholic Church began to canonize exemplary Christians as saints. You might remember that during Pope Francis's visit to this area back in September, he celebrated a mass at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception to canonize an 18th century Spanish missionary. The missionary Junipero Serra is credited with spreading the Catholic faith across California in the 1700s. Now, Serra's elevation to sainthood was somewhat controversial because some believe that he coerced Native Americans into converting to Catholicism and to abandon their culture. And when it was announced that Pope Francis was going to canonize Serra, some were surprised because he's been credited with only one miracle, and typically saints should be credited with two miracles. Well, the Pope said that Serra's life served as the second miracle. Well, we Protestants differ with our Catholic friends in the concept of sainthood, especially when it comes to venerating saints or to praying to saints. We don't do that. Protestants regard all Christian believers as saints, not just those singled out for sainthood. And we derive our understanding about saints from our scripture for this morning and other scriptures that typically refer to Christians, all Christians, as saints. In fact, Paul addressed the members of the church at Corinth as saints. He said, "We are all called to be saints." Now, the word saint comes from the Greek word hagios, which means holy, set apart. Paul used that word a lot to refer to his fellow Christians. In fact, it appears 40 times in 10 of Paul's letters. So 40 times in 10 letters, Paul called his fellow Christians saints. According to Paul, we are all called to be saints. We are all called to be holy. We are all called to be set apart because we are called to live a distinctive Christian lifestyle as followers of Jesus Christ. Now you might say, well, what makes our lifestyle distinctive? What does the distinctive Christian lifestyle entail? I'm going to suggest four qualities. First of all, it entails moral integrity. A Christian, a saint, has moral integrity. Saints don't lie or cheat or steal or murder or commit adultery. That distinctive Christian lifestyle also entails humility. For you see, without humility, our moral integrity would cause us to be arrogant and condescending toward others. The distinctive Christian lifestyle also entails compassion. You cannot be a follower of Jesus without compassion. Fourthly, the distinctive Christian lifestyle entails service. We serve others in Jesus' name. And so it was this distinctive Christian lifestyle of moral integrity, humility, compassion, and service that characterized Christians from the very beginning. And that distinctive lifestyle characterizes Christians, saints, today. There was a story in the Washington Post by columnist Petula Dvorak. She wrote about seeing a makeshift homeless camp in Foggy Bottom, not too far from the Kennedy Center. She noticed the camp because there were a half dozen tents set up in a grassy median under an overpass. Wondering where the tents had come from, Petula stopped by and she asked one of the people living there where the tents had come from. And he said that the week before, a man he didn't know had dropped the tents off and said they could use them. Petula wanted to find out who this tent angel was, so she did some investigating. She discovered that he is a sanitation worker named Arnold Harvey, age 58. Harvey drives a truck for the waste management company. A decade ago, while on a sanitation route, Harvey noticed homeless people sleeping along the streets, and he was horrified to see rats crawling on them as they slept. He knew he had to do something. So ever since, for the last 10 years, before he begins his sanitation route every morning, he makes the rounds of those homeless encampments in the district, and he drops off food and sleeping bags and clothing and shoes. And lately, he's been dropping off tents. Harvey and his wife started a small charity to manage the donations. And last year, he was honored by Fortune magazine as a top employee of a Fortune 500 company for the charity work that he and his wife do. Well, Petula wanted to know really what was behind this charitable work, and she asked where he got the inspiration to do what he's doing. He told her that he got the inspiration from his own humble beginnings. He grew up in the worst part of Kansas City, Missouri, one of 12 kids. He was in an impoverished environment at an early age. And Harvey promised God that if his life ever got better, he would do something to help others. Well, his life did get better. He joined the military, joined the army, got married. Eventually, they had 5 kids. And then later, he got a good job working as a driver for waste management. Now, he and his wife live in a nice home in a suburb of Maryland. But when he saw the rats crawling on those homeless people as they slept a decade ago, he knew that it was time to fulfill the vow that he had made. Through their charity called God's Connection Transition, Harvey and his wife feed some 5,000 people a month. And recently they made a deal with their local Costco in Gaithersburg to take tents that customers had returned to the store and to give the tents to the homeless. Harvey said, "The tents are a new effort for us. When we get someone a tent, everything gets better. They sleep better. Their belongings don't get destroyed in the weather. And most of all, the homeless get noticed. Harvey said, you can't ignore a tent. The last tents we gave out in the spring, those people all got housing within a few months. Well, my Aunt Winnie was a saint. She lived a distinctive Christian lifestyle, and she put her faith into action with humility and compassion and service. Arnold Harvey and his wife are saints. They put their faith into action without fanfare or publicity, but eventually the word gets out and people notice their distinctive Christian lifestyle. Every follower of Jesus is called to be a saint. We are called to put our faith into action by our distinctive Christian lifestyle. On this day, we remember all the saints who have gone before us, and we commit ourselves to be saints too. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these sacred emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking Him to receive from His table in the assurance that He who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as His own.
take this cup in communion with you, we are reminded of how truly great thou art. As the hymnist wrote, we can scarcely take in the magnitude of your sacrifice for us. Yet here we stand, ready to be made clean again because of you. We thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to wash away our sins yet again. Amen.
Revelation chapter 22 speaks about a river that flows by the throne of God. And there's a hymn that says, we will gather with the saints by the river. It may be there's someone here today who'd want to profess your faith in Jesus, to become a Christian, to be called a saint upon your faith and baptism. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're not a part of this church. You'd want to unite with us. We would welcome either decision. Invite you to come to the front and we stand together and sing number 561, Shall We Gather at the River?